This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. We all have heard the term, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, but it's how you play the game. Well, when people experience losses, they don't walk away with such high thoughts of playing the game well, because a loss is a loss. Whether it's business, friendship, relationships, or even something as small as like a parking space, it's a loss. How we deal with the loss defines us, but how do you deal with it and eventually grow from it? Author and motivational speaker Lennox Cornwall explains how to grow from your losses. Thank you for joining me, Lennox.
My pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
I read some of your book, and in the preface, it actually says that you were a corporate banker and you left. Why did you do that?
Well, that's a long story, but I'm going to keep it as short as I can. I love the idea of being a corporate banker. I got to work with Fortune 500 aerospace companies like British Airways, British Aerospace, Rolls-Royce Engines. It was fantastic. Even Boeing in America, what was McDonnell Douglas back then. But I had a dream as a 9-year-old to start my own business before the age of 30. And something happened at the bank which I just couldn't accept. I had set up this amazing lending department for the bank. It was earning a lot of money. I was so busy that I needed more staff. And I was told that my colleague Steve would be reporting to work next week. And I thought, fantastic, I've got so much for him to do, this will be great. And then I was told, no, you don't understand. On Monday, you report to Steve. Well, Mason, I just didn't know how to take that. Excuse myself, found a dark woman, burst out crying. But it's the first time I cried since the age of 5 and the last time since then. So at that point, I thought, you know what? This is a sign for me to start my own business. So I did.
And what happened? You started your own business and that was it?
Yeah, I did. I started my own business. It was a whirlwind. We were fantastically successful for a very short space of time. But I was in business with two colleagues. What we had in charisma, we lacked in business acumen back then. So we, from massive success initially, we failed miserably. I lost everything. And it was the first time I'd actually failed at anything as terribly as that. And to understand what went wrong, I started journaling. So in the journaling, I started getting these wonderful ahas. And one of those ahas was that this is a book. This is a book. It's a book. So I decided to convert the journaling into a book. And the book is called Embracing Failure, Your Key to Success, which I didn't really do anything with until last year, which is many years after actually getting the idea. But it became an international bestseller, and it's actually helping a lot of people understand what failure is and what it's not. And we do have some terrible misconceptions about what failure actually is.
Yeah, when it comes to failure, I know for a lot of people, it's when you don't realize those dreams and it feels like it's just crumbling all around you, your life even. So, I mean, but what exactly is failure? It doesn't have to be a negative thing, right?
It does not have to be negative at all. And in fact, when we really sit down and want to understand what it is, we'll see that it's an emancipating force if we want it to be. I've actually created an acronym from the word failure, which stands for Fruitful and Informative Lesson, Urging Renewed Effort. And Mason, when people take it in that way, they can then take the lessons that they've learned into the next moment and then start taking the next lesson into the next moment until they actually succeed. So instead of looking at failure as not achieving a particular set goal, we can simply see it as part of the process towards success.
How do you know when you've reached the lesson? I mean, because for a lot of people, they'll just keep reliving that moment over and over again. I mean, is that how you learn the lesson, or are you just beating yourself up?
That is a great question. Now, that's something that we know when we set goals that we want to achieve. But I would also add to that that getting help from somebody who has a more objective view than we do helps. So, for example, while I am a coach myself, I have three other coaches that I go to for certain things. One is writing. And that being said, sometimes the effort does not need to be renewed, but it needs to be a different effort. So, for example, if somebody gets involved in a project that is just going absolutely nowhere, they've got no inspiration around that project, the effort should be revised as opposed to renewed. So, in other words, we're looking for something that actually sparks interest in this. And sometimes we can get involved in projects for the wrong reasons, and then we are banging our head against that brick wall.
How do you overcome that?
Again, one of the things I do to overcome that is to make sure that I'm working with somebody who's got a more objective view than I have. But the biggest thing is to make sure that we understand our values and our goals. And when we do that, we can start making sure that the steps we're taking are going towards what we want rather than away from what we want.
Man, you know, when you say it like that, I'm like, it's so easier said than done, because I'm trying to think, for myself, what people do I know? Like, should you start going through your list of friends and family, or should you look for a mentor?
Good question. So you can go through friends and family, but what I would counsel if you do that, I call that an accountability partner. So it has to be someone that really has your interests at heart, probably has the same sorts of goals and ideals that you have, in which case they understand what you want. And then they can say, well, hang on a second, didn't you say that this is what you wanted, and how come you're doing this? But you can look at a mentor, and certainly you can also look at a coach. You get different levels of support from each one. And I would suggest that people who have never necessarily had a coach or a mentor before, if they have someone in their family or a friend that can be an accountability partner, start there. One, it's free, okay? And secondly, you start getting to understand what support you want rather than jumping in at the deep end.
That's true, because I know even if you get friends or family, sometimes they won't be as honest with you. I think finding a mentor would probably be the best course of action. But where could you find one at? Would you go to like your local college, or would you maybe even an old boss that could help you?
Yeah, with a mentor, it's usually somebody that you already know and trust, somebody that has probably given you really good advice in the past and that you're absolutely trusting will do the same again in the future. So I'm really lucky, for example, to know somebody like Bob Proctor, who was star of The Secret movie. Bob is definitely a mentor of mine. Sometimes I get stuck on certain things, and I can just send Bob an email or a quick text and say, Bob, I'm really stuck here. And he'll probably send one back saying, isn't this where you were stuck before? So if it's somebody that you know and trust, absolutely. Otherwise, I would, if you really want to get help and you don't have a mentor and you don't have a friend or family member that you really trust enough to be an accountability partner, then start looking for coaches. And the best way of doing that is by referral. So if you know somebody who's used a coach before, then obviously a referral is good. If you don't know anyone that's used a coach before, I would then start the process just as you would when looking for a plumber. Maybe you want to, interview three and see which one, feels right to you, because it is going to be an emotional response as to whether you want to work with the person or not.
Okay, so let's say we got our mentor, you got like this renewed life, your perspective of life has changed. Okay, you did all that and you failed again. Now you're afraid. What do you do? How do you overcome that fear of failing again?
That's a really, really good question. Now, the thing to do with that is to realize that, again, failure is a fruitful and informative lesson urging renewed effort. But as well as that, we have to see fear as false evidence appearing real. So it's just how you're looking at it. A good question to ask in that situation is, what am I really afraid of? And oftentimes, to be quite honest, it's other people's judgment of our failing. So when we have a worthy ideal that's really compelling enough, we're prepared to face any judgment or any ridicule and carry on regardless, because the ideal is so much bigger than what other people think of us.
Do you think that people, like if they fail too many times at a particular thing, should they kind of give up or should they transform it?
Well, again, it depends. So this is where some serious soul searching comes in. And I've been in situations where I've got involved in projects that, ultimately I sort of sat and I thought, why did I get involved in this? I've got really no passion for it. So instead of just giving up, I take it as a lesson, a fruitful and informative lesson urging renewed effort. But I change the direction of the effort that I'm putting. So I'm now looking to put that energy into something that's more consistent with what really turns me on and that's more closely aligned with my values. I have fallen in the trap, I'll be honest, in the past of getting involved with things because I thought there was a quick buck to be earned, right? Now, I no longer do that because one of my values is not earning a quick buck. It used to be. So once we align with our values, we can more easily actually get over it.
Are there any common habits that people have that keep them from, succeeding?
Oh, yes, I'm afraid there are. And this is one of the things that I like to talk about, because people can fall into these traps without truly realizing it. One of them is to listen to the wrong advice. And what I mean by that is we hang around with the same sorts of people, and they're as stuck as we are. So we're asking our buddy John or our friend Mary, you know, should I go and do this amazingly different thing? We're probably going to get the answer, you know, an answer like, are you crazy? So I would find somebody that's already done what you want to achieve and ask them instead. Another thing that we do, Mason, is to focus on the wrong thing in terms of looking at what the circumstances around us are telling us rather than keeping focused on the dream. And I like to use weight loss as an example of this because it's a relatively simple one for people to see the metaphor. And that is, I want to lose 10 pounds and I'm, you know, doing all these different things. I'm following what I was told to do and I'm following the program. But my weight's just not coming off. And so I get so discouraged after a week or two that I'm being, if you like, swayed by what's going on around me, i.e. the scales, rather than keeping the dream. So if you keep your eye focused on where you're going, ultimately, if you keep doing the things that are proven to be right, you will succeed. And then another one is no structure. Oftentimes we get involved in social media, the TV, you know, PlayStations, whatever. These are all wonderful things. But if we don't have a structure in which to play with those things, we find that they eat up all of our time. And then the last one I'll give is being a victim of change rather than its master. Oftentimes, because we don't have, you know, goals and ideals, we just kind of go along with what's happening. And then all of a sudden we end up 10, 20, 30 years later wondering what happened. So those are some of the easy traps to fall into that I see on a regular basis through the coaching process.
Oh, wow. That's actually four really great things. Wow. Okay. So the last one you said, the no goals one, that one kind of, I don't know. I had a friend where she said that by the time she was 30, she had to be married and she had to have a baby. And she did all that, but she wasn't really that happy afterwards. I mean, what do you think of sometimes people have these ideas that they need like a timetable they have to do it by, but maybe they should be more malleable, or is that not something that's a part of it?
That is a wonderful, wonderful question. I'm glad you raised it. I'm going to get all spiritual on you now, so hold on, okay? Now, there's an expression, let go and let God. And I want to kind of put that in a context. So I believe that we are co-creators with the Creator. Our responsibility is to dream up wonderful things that we can bring into the world and share with people and better other people's lives. And we do that through products and services and so on and so forth. But what we can't say, but we get into trouble when we do, is I want this and it absolutely has to happen by a certain time. Now, I get that when we set goals, we need to put some form of deadline on it because it allows us to go towards it and it encourages us and we're getting closer. But when it doesn't happen according to our time, we have to understand that there's a gestation period that maybe we're not understanding. So I think it was Jim Rohn that once said, beware of an individual that's manufacturing antiques. His point is that, no, you don't manufacture antiques. They take time to become antiques. Just like our goals sometimes take more time to manifest than we think. So we have to set the goal, pursue it, and then let go and let God, if you like, work with us to create it in the time it's supposed to arrive. Patience is a virtue.
With that being said, how do you know when the opportunity is there? Only reason I'm thinking of that is I think of business or careers. Okay, I want to be, you know, a musician, and that's my goal, and I'm seeing it. I'm just going to kind of go along with it on the ride. But how do I know, like, when the opportunity that I'm going to hit it big is right here?
Well, again, the first thing is this something that truly aligns with who I am? Or is this an opportunity that I just happened upon because John, my brother, said it was a great opportunity? And I think that's the very first thing to do. Determine, is it something that I truly want, or is it something that somebody else kind of wants for me? That's the first thing. The second thing, again, I've talked about values and goals a little bit. I want to do so again because it's so important. Ask yourself, does this opportunity align with my values and my goals? Consider also whether it's going to be taking you towards or away from the things that you want in your life. So if you want freedom and somebody says, tomorrow, well, marry me and we're going to live in West Virginia, where I live, by the way, and we're going to live on a mountain, which I do, we're not going to go anywhere, which I don't, that may not be what you want. So you have to really make sure that it's taking you towards where you want to go. Another thing would be that in today's world, everyone is so crazy busy. So consider what you're prepared to give up if you do take on this new opportunity. It's not always as easy as it sounds. And then the last one I'll give you, Mason, is this. We have to determine what resources are required, whether finances are involved, manpower, or some form of system, that we need to put in place to successfully realize the opportunity. So some analysis is absolutely required here.
For those listening, where can they find your book at?
The best place, I guess, would be Amazon or my website, which is lennoxcornwell.com.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you doing this interview.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you so much for the invitation.
This has been The Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.